Okay, well, call the meeting order. Thank everybody for coming out on this lovely December 1st day. So, hopefully everybody's had an opportunity to read the minutes of November 4th. So I ask for a motion to approve. Any additions, deletions, corrections, anything? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? As promised, we have a broadband. We're going to hear all about broadband. And so I'm going to turn it over to Dennis because he's the broadband kind of guy.
Well, I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Okay.
Chris, no, you can turn it over to you.
Much smarter than you.
They should have beat New England, so the
odds
were against.
I know.
Okay, so.
No, keep going. I don't have much here.
I need your Chris.
No, go. I don't know. It's dangerous.
Why? Nobody shot me yet.
Do
I get the hammer?
All right. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about the broadband study that we're doing. As you know, you passed a resolution last year, Resolution 346, requesting that the county's executive develop a plan on a 1, 3, and 5-year timeline to figure out gaps in our broadband system and how to address both the residential end and the commercial end. You know, we have an issue both with areas that are unserved and underserved, and then we have business corridors where we may not have the speed, the affordability, the reliability, or the redundancy that we need. So what we've done is we've formed a working group at the county that includes Sylvia and Tom Hines from Information Systems. We have somebody from the budget office who's looked at some of our proposals. We've Suzanne Holders on it, Dennis and I, and we have been, we put out an RFP for a consultant who could do a gaps analysis and feasibility study. And what that really does is it takes the existing mapping that is available and it fact checks it, it validates it. It tries to give us an accurate portrayal of where we have infrastructure deployed and where we lack infrastructure, and also look at things like speed. You know, areas where we think we have 25 megabit service, when you do a speed test, you don't even have half of that. The next thing it does is it tries to establish a standard that we should strive for, and many of you know that the governor's office has released, is going to be releasing next year a grant program valued at about $500 million that will help communities deploy broadband. You're looking for a 100 meg standard, 100 megabytes download capability. So we're trying to figure out where can we do that, where is it maybe less. In residential areas, can you do maybe 25? The next thing is basically developing business case scenarios for how we could deploy additional broadband. I don't think that the county necessarily wants to be the owner of this. We don't have trucks. We don't have crews. We're not a utility. So what we would be looking for are opportunities to leverage the grant money at the state level and bring in additional private service providers to build out on the network. And some of that is extending the fiber backbone. Others of it is doing that last mile up some of the roads that don't have, you know, the 20 houses per mile that are is required. So what we're trying to do is find these leverage points so that projects that right now are infeasible become economically feasible. We put out an RFP in October. We had a good response. We had 5 firms propose. We have narrowed that down to 3, and this afternoon we finished the interviews with the 2 last firms. So we hope by the end of the week, we're still going back and finalizing a couple reference checks, and then we're also looking at some of the sample studies that these firms have provided, and we hope to come up with a selected vendor by the end of the week, and then hopefully try to get them under contract by the end of January. So we hope to come back to you with a proposed vendor and a scope of work and a contract. You may know we had identified about $75,000 in contingency. All of surprisingly, all of these proposals came in under $75,000. So we're within the budget. We have stressed to all of these vendors that timeliness is going to be important. We've really got to get it moving quickly. We want to be ready for when this grant is released, but we also want to be comprehensive enough so we're not just focused on that one source of funding. We're looking at several sources of funding and other opportunities down the road. For instance, the state money may only be for residential. That doesn't mean we don't want an assessment of where we stand with the business community and impediments to economic development because people aren't wired. Sylvia, did I miss anything? I know you're...
That sounds pretty thorough, except maybe the part where the stakeholder groups
So what we're envisioning would be a really robust process where we find anchor institutions, things like hospitals, schools, OCs, the university, the community college, major users of tech, some of the technopreneurs, and have stakeholder group meetings, have one-on-one meetings, and then also do assessments of the residential services. And we've been talking with the various vendors about how they would do that, how do we make sure we get valid data, how do we make sure the maps that we produce are fully accurate, because the ones that exist right now that are provided by the state, we know from fact-checking, like, you know, Lynn and some others in the Rochester area have fact-checked where that infrastructure is deployed, and it, what's on paper doesn't match what's on the pole or what's on the ground. So I think we've got a good start. We hope to be back to you in January or February with a proposed vendor and a contract.
Are they going to be doing a pole-by-pole assessment, or how are you going to determine where the issues and gaps are? I mean, how are they going to go about assessing?
The three final firms all have a little different take on it. And, you know, all of them begin with, let's get the mapping that's available now. Then they want to do meetings with the current providers. We've already met as a committee with Time Warner Cable and Light Tower, who have a lot of the deployed fiber here. So it's meeting with them. Light Tower was very open about telling us where their fiber is deployed. And what we would look to do is see if we could do proprietary agreements with Time Warner if they're reticent about giving that information. And then as we would do surveys to figure out, you know, tell us if you have service, tell us what the speeds are. That would be online, but there were some really innovative suggestions for how we do that. Like, a lot of people who don't have service at home will go to a library or school for service. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about partnering with the libraries so that more people fed back data. Like, I'm on this road and I don't have service, but two doors down my neighbor does. And then as needed, perhaps to include a physical review. Some of that can be done by just looking at Google Maps.
Yeah.
Some of it needs to be driven.
Just to share some firsthand experience with providers, when I was on the town board, brought them into Rochester. We had communities where people were saying, I don't have access. I'm being told that I have access, but I don't. And we actually had them sitting in the room with people. Time Warner saying there was wired internet available to their community, only to find out that that was not the case. So in some cases, Time Warner doesn't even necessarily know where there's access and where there isn't, and where there's some gaps. And if they do know, they're not putting forth that they know. And so I think that the open, which was why we did through the highway department in Rochester, a pole-by-pole assessment, because that was the only way to determine, here's what Time Warner is saying, here's what the people are saying, here's what we see on the polls.
Right.
So just as FYI.
And I think we're going to need to utilize local community leaders. Certainly we discussed outreach to the 20 supervisors to say, tell us the areas where you think for the most part, they know where these areas are because that's the calls that they're getting.
Well, and in some cases, they don't, though. Some cases, people look at their phone as their access to internet. They don't understand. You can't run a business off a smartphone in your area, even if you have decent cell tower service. That's another issue. So all I'm saying is that some of it is building awareness in communities so that they understand, and then differentiating the difference between a wired service capability
and a wireless. Yeah.
Because they're extremely different.
And there may be a hybrid of solutions for last mile. We may run fiber to a particular area and then have to do a wireless thing.
And they have those push systems now. They're calling them white technology where, you know, it will push the signal, and even if it's wireless, you still have a better upload and download capability because the system's just two poles away from your house.
And what we're trying to generate are implementable projects that have a cost assigned to them. So we know, for instance, if we're going to do a particular census tract and we're going to build out there, we have an understanding of how much that costs, and then we try to work with a provider to see if there's interest. And then we prioritize based on, you know, what has the best return on investment and what's actually feasible.
Yeah.
If you don't have anybody interested in running this or serving the area, you know, I don't know that we're prepared right now as a municipality to go into that business. We might find that this study tells us where we go in the future.
The other thing is, just as an FYI, for example, in Rochester, the Time Warner fees were that the town receives, and some of those fees were banked.
Okay.
And they were banked to help facilitate last mile issues in the broader community. So, you know, that's something that you may want to be asking, or at least talking to the communities about, and the supervisors about opportunities. And Carl can speak to that very specifically, because we made that decision a number of years ago.
And they may require that the state grant program requires a one-to-one match. So they're putting up $500 million, and they're saying, if you want to use this, you know, you're going to have to match a stock.
$500 million, right.
But what's interesting, just one other thing, when we've talked to these consultants, two of them are from out of state, and they basically said, you know, people are really envious of what's happening in New York. This is an amazing opportunity, and we wish our state was doing it.
It's kind of a question for Lynn, but also a comment. So with the pole-by-pole assessment that was done, how difficult was that undertaking?
It was done through the highway department as they were going around roads. Everybody had a section where they were working, and they were responsible for getting that piece done and being able to map it out on them, and then hand it in at the end of the day. And then it was, you know, brought all together, and that's how we made the maps. And it was based on what was hanging on the pole and what wasn't there.
Yeah, see, that to me seems the most accurate it could be, since it's actually a provider.
Yeah, because we weren't getting a straight answer from a provider.
Right. And I would think that the supervisors, I mean, I think the importance of bringing in the municipalities and the leaders, the local leaders, supervisors and mayors is critical. And every supervisor has a tremendous amount of stake, because every town has holes and every supervisor is representing, you know, they're the local face. So however we could get the supervisors involved to facilitate that kind of, even with the consultant that you end up hiring, I think the more feet on the ground, you know, that we could.
We agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to need help with any, whatever type of survey we need, we may ask you to help get the word out about it, because, you know, the greater the sample, the better the information that we get.
I'm very happy to.
We're going to also investigate how the new Wi-Fi system, which will antiquate Wi-Fi, that comes out next year and is 10 to 100 times faster than Wi-Fi, and it is LED light-based. So you don't need the fiber, you probably will use fiber, but you will not need a lot of the devices that are investing in now, 2 years from now.
Okay. Well, we've not restricted it to fiber only. We've asked them basically to tell us where our gaps are and then give us different ideas of how to fill it. We can certainly ask them.
The gaps you have now will not be gaps, because it's night. It's based on LED light.
Okay.
So as long as you have electricity in your house, you can get light.
But that's not wired. it does have an impact on, you know, your upload and download capabilities, and you still have to have the bandwidth to, even if you have this faster system, you have to have the bandwidth so that, that it accommodates the number of users. There's a couple of things that happen.
I agree, but if you're sending the data at 100 times faster than you are on Wi-Fi, your bandwidth does not have to be as wide because you're sending more data in a shorter period of time.
We'll mention this as something that we would like to be explore. I don't know what the answers are, and
just announced last Thursday.
Right.
So it's not like to, you know.
Yeah.
You can get up to speed that quickly on it, but
so to speak.
What we utilize now will be obsolete in 2 years from now.
Right. And I think that's the case also for not owning it. You know, we don't want to build things that are going to be stranded assets in 2 years or 5 years.
Okay. One other suggestion, which I'm sure is underrated, but I just want to make sure I say it as well. In talking to the technology community, I'd make sure to highlight people, particularly in the film industry, because they're working with tremendous amount of bandwidth. I mean, these images.
How do you have the guys that, yeah.
People are now shooting 4K is becoming obsolete, and the amount of information that has to pass. And we have a growing film community here in the region. So even if you're just talking to several,
if you know of. We were talking to Gene Knudsen today, who runs the BOCES IT program, and they've basically taken schools and libraries and also Ulster County, 4 counties worth of schools, and then they put it out to bid for service. And they're now providing 200 megabits to every school with the goal of 1 gig next year, I think, is where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to, by aggregating the demand, they've been able to get competitive prices. They're getting Time Warner Cable to go against Lighthouse. So we said to Gene, who else should we be speaking to? I mean, you know a lot about this. If you have people doing that kind of work, those are precisely the people that we want to bring in as stakeholders. We've said, you know, we know we have this creative class. They may live in the city part-time. They may have, you know, retired up here and they're still working part-time, but they're now uploading a lot more than they used to.
I have a gentleman who runs the studio down in Kerhonkson who basically said that if he were able to increase the speed, he could, because he does simultaneous editing with LA, but he can't do that here. He has to go to the city to do that.
Yeah.
He would bring business here and people here if he had the capability of doing that here. So expanding businesses.
Yeah. Compile any lists and contact information that you have, we would present that at the kickoff meeting with the consultant, and it would help us a lot. Any other questions?
We'll go to resolutions. 461, approving the execution of contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000 as a Technology Group, Inc. Information Services.
Move for discussion.
Second.
Okay.
Sylvia?
Okay. Essex Technology Group is another one of the vendors that we keep on retainer to assist us with upgrading the operating systems on our system on mini computers. So that's the amount of money that we put there is similar to what we spent last year, but we're not obligated to spend it at all. It's there in case we need it. Last year we did upgrade all four of our mini computers, so that we used probably about $14,000 of that last year. And next year we would use it to migrate off of the system line that we're using for those notes when we move that up to the cloud. So we'll need a little bit of resources for that.
Okay. Any questions, anybody? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, very good. Thank you. 466, contract in excess of $50,000, International Business Machines Corp.
Move for discussion.
Second. Chris. Sylvia.
Okay, now this one is for the support and maintenance of those four main computers that I was just mentioning. And two of them I run the Lotus Notes email system and the intranet. So part of that maintenance is for the email, that's $45,000. And the other is for running the operating systems and the client licenses that allow you to access the system.
Questions, anybody? If not, all in favor? Aye. Aye. Opposed? Very good.
Question, is any computers?
Yes.
Any of them very powerful?
Yes. So I just sampled both of the servers, the Intel servers that we have. They're not considered mainframe.
Resolution 480, establishing capital project number 459 to provide design and engineering work for the Village County rail trail project along the Shoshone Reservoir. Second. Okay, discussion?
We just got the report today from the UND corridor consultant, which I don't believe any of us has read yet. I think this motion or resolution may be a little premature. Just want to make sure that it is in harmony with the findings of the committee.
I've read the report, still reading the report. It's a very extensive report. But I think, resoundingly, if you look at the report, the one section they felt was trail-focused was the Ashokan Trail. And while I understand we're still going through a process as the committee, I'd be happy moving this forward, but if something comes out of the UND that would give us pause, then we'd pause. But you know, why hold it up when, you know, we already have a memorandum of understanding here. We voted for this section, and even the consultant is basically saying that's the best use for this section of the quarter, based on what I've read, so, in his report. So, yes, we still have work to do, but...
I don't like to have the consultant that we put the RFP for Resolution 480 to have a clear scope of services. And I don't think we've headed out the corridor report to a point where we could amass a clear scope of services that would be similar to both of the findings of the committee. And by postponing this for a month or two, I don't think it's going to have a great effect on... I just like to see the ducks in a row follow the row so we don't extend money and have consultants chasing down design work and then turn around and have a different approach to the scope of services.
Tracy?
Well, my understanding on this resolution is that the money's in the bank, but I have some of the same concerns as Herb is reflecting and sort of in deference to the work that we're doing in the UND Corridor Committee. I'm not yet prepared to move forward on this because I want to wait for the outcome of the committee. I understand Lynn's suggestion basically to get it in line to vote and appreciate the concept of being able to pull it if it doesn't fall in line with what the committee is recommending. And I understand sort of the politics and maneuvers of getting that to that point. And this is my vote today. May not be my vote on the 15th because certainly if it's in line with what we recommend, we as committee recommend, I'd like the opportunity to vote for it this year. And I know there are members who aren't going to be here next year who would like the opportunity to vote for it this year. So
it also has two other committees to go through.
It does.
You know, I think the urgency of this has to do with the grant writing processes involved. That's you know, you don't want to miss out on filling out the paperwork correctly for the grant, and I'm voting yes on that.
I don't think there's any grants. I mean, that money's coming from the DEP, correct?
it's come from the DEP. It's been in the bank.
So it's not a grant. The money's in the bank. So
yes.
It's not like we're going to lose it or we have to, you know, we have to refund of grant money that's out there. The money's already in our bank.
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Two things. The reason that we put it forward now is because if it doesn't pass the committee here and then subsequently pass Public Works and Ways and Means, you can't even vote on it in December if you decide your policy is the policy that stands, which is supportive of this. Your current policy says the 11 and a half miles of the Ashokan along the Ashokan Reservoir would be trail only. If you decide to change that, you could pull the resolution. However, if you decide that you want to vote, the logistics of this don't work so that you could even have a vote this month. And why that, we've heard from some of the people leaving the legislature that they wanted to vote on it. You know, Don Gregorius is a sponsor of this. I talked to him the other day, and I know that he would want to vote on it. The other thing to keep in mind is what this does and what it doesn't do. What it does is it basically takes this money that's sitting out there in the bank, which is not assigned to anything, and it puts it into an established capital project. Secondly, it authorizes $550,000 for the design and engineering only, nothing for construction. We would have to come back to you at least three or four times before there was any construction. And then finally, it establishes us as the lead for SEACRA so we can begin some of the environmental work. We would, if this passes, we would then go out and try to line up a firm that would do this work with the hope of getting them under contract by April or May. So again, nothing happens, no money is spent until April or May. You have multiple points at which you could pull it back, but the, you know, if you remember the original resolution, we thought your report was going to be in it at the end of November so people could vote on it before the legislature changed. This is just like the next baby step forward. It's like when you approve the agreement. You know, so again, I've got to come back to you with a contract. I've got to come back to you with a SEACRA finding. Based on your existing policy, I have to come back before I pull a single piece of rail out. So you're going to have all of those, you know, and the reality is, if, say on the 14th you decide railroad is the best thing along the Ashokan, you can pull this. But if you decide trail is the best on the Ashokan, you've precluded yourself from even voting on it this month. So we would appreciate it just going through, and if you decide to change, we've respected your policy. I mean, I didn't even put an RFP out for engineering because I didn't want to interfere with your committee's work. I would have put that out otherwise back in May or June.
I mean, as a designer, I typically don't design the superstructure until I design the foundation. And you talk about baby steps, the baby needs to be born first. So I think putting this off a month is not detrimental to the project and probably will have very little if no effect on the project. But it will design the foundation before we design the superstructure.
Sure.
I would just like to make a quick promise. I would be very disappointed if I wasn't given the opportunity to vote on this piece. I think we've all been agreeing. I don't believe there's any question about it. And to delay it a month really does nothing. And it, you know, it takes away an opportunity for something that we've been working for a long, long time. And quite frankly, it's what we hear all the time. This one doesn't have enough information. That one doesn't have enough. This one wants to do this. You know, we can look at this for a whole year and been talking about it.
Well, I have a sign in my office that says, do it right and do it once.
I think we're doing it right.
I've sat through many a session in the legislature where we've rushed things through, including the resolution for this corridor when we did the rail, or excuse me, the trail through the Ashokan. And at many meetings at the UND and subsequent meetings, even legislative meetings, we talked about maybe we're premature, maybe we pulled the hammer too quick, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, because I don't think we take the time to think things through out properly, logically, and in the right progression. Yet here we sit again at the 11th hour, and let's rush it through, whereas an extra month
it's not going to affect the capital project at all.
Tracy, if you have some.
No, I mean, I
just would like to say that this recommendation was the recommendation put forth by the Tulsa study in 2005, close 10 years ago, and over multiple planning discussions, multiple committees, there hasn't been anything in that 10 years that has suggested that there is a different, better use for this section. So, though it may seem new to you, it's not through the planning process, and we've had additional planning and information come in. The Stone Report, it looks like, supports that. The railroad that is currently operating has supported that. And so the idea that on this we're rushing seems not to hold as much weight, especially given the legislative work that's gone into it.
Thank you.
You know, I hate voicing this, but, you know, but there's also the mess here that, you know, where they're going to have, you know, again, you know, new folks who are going to, rightfully so, they're going to want to get speed. Whereas this legislature has been dealing with this issue solidly for, you know, for 2 years.
If
not,
okay.
Can I
say,
can I see that. Anyway, one of the sort of it is, that, you know, if there's any legislature meeting in terms of those who are actually dealing with this day in, day out, you know, this body is probably the one that at least knows what those issues are, and we don't have to get as up to speed. That said, as Chris also pointed out, it's not as if somehow that's the end of it. There will be other steps along the way if we actually see that there's actually a problem where we can actually pull this back.
Anything else? Chris?
Yeah. Funding I had confused with a different element where there was reimbursable grants, but Mr. White, so if this does get held up for a month or two, how would that affect the process of you selecting the proper contractor and putting out the bids?
We wouldn't put a RFP out for another month. I mean, the way that typically what we would do is put out an RFP or an RFQ and find a vendor and agree on a price and come to you with a contract. And then we would have done all of that work already. Because you were engaged in this process of reviewing the policy, we just stopped in April when you passed Resolution 155 because we took you, you know, we said you wanted take a time out, take 5 to 6 months, come back with a report, with the idea that you were going to vote on some policy recommendation in December. And so, you know, again, is it a... I'm just concerned, like Hector said, that a new legislature may even want to do a whole new report. They may, you know, the people that have lived and breathed this, we're losing four members who have, you know, spent a lot of time getting... So I would just be worried that it's not a month, it's 3 months, it's 5 months.
And again, it's just the overall planning process. Every time we have these discussions, everything gets waylaid. I'd like to see, at least leave here knowing we have things that we've accomplished and we're getting done. And in this case, offering up whatever comes out of the UND committee, if something comes out that says, wait a minute, this is totally wrong, then we pull it. But without that, we don't even get an opportunity to vote on this, and I'd like an opportunity to vote on it.
I think
we keep rehashing the same old stuff over and over again. We need to get this trail going. That's my take.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, opposed? Okay, so moved. 4-2. Thank you. And Resolution 481 establishing Tulsa County as lead agency under the State Environmental Quality Review Act seeker for completion of solar projects on the Tulsa County Resource Recovery Closed Landfill and Capital Sir. Department of Plan. Okay, Chris. All right. Discussion? Questions? Anybody have any questions?
No problems, Dennis?
No, I don't think so. We have a couple of permits from the Department of Environmental Conservation. We need an amendment to the highways to allow it to occur. but in discussions both with the town and with the Resource Recovery Agency, we believe that we have the essence of the county act of the agency.
Solar City, does that mean that it's one of those lease projects that they...
Power purchase projects.
Did we ever run, I realize this is a different issue because I'm totally fine with this resolution and being a lead agency, but did we ever run the numbers on what it would be, it says a power purchase agreement, but if we actually purchased our own system?
We did, and as an attorney, with the eligible for a lot of the credits, right, with the benefit of the project. But we did structure this agreement in such a way for the landfill, another topic for the landfill project, mm-hmm. We can't really have the right to buy out.
So they get the credits, pass them on to us in the process? Right. Okay.
So the lease structure has, remember, there's two large projects that total 4 megawatts between community college and the college chose to have a flat rate for the life of the power purchase agreement. On the Vulture landfill project, we decided that we want to keep the option open for us to assume the infrastructure of the project.
At some point, can I just see that announcement? Yeah, I'm very excited about the project.
We've never heard it from the environment committee for some time and have a full discussion with Grace and
Any other discussion?
Not a question.
Also,
is there a conceptual plan already in place?
There's a layout that's in very much in draft form right now in terms of how it will fit on the landfill and how much space it will need. But I would also need a conceptual plan at this point.
Sorry, well screened.
Yes, and if you've been up there, all you have, obviously, but if you drive that location, you can see that because of the slope of the landfill, you're going to be on the top. The visibility from the road systems are going to be very limited.
Awesome. I think it should be available for all the students, doesn't it? Because it's coming with speed credit.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? New business? Anything? Anybody? Old business? Before we adjourn, again, I just want to thank Lynn for her time and dedication. Something tells me this broadband not go away, so she'll still be floating around and helping us out. We appreciate it. This is important. And I think you were saying about the electric newer bus that we had where the folks came up. We've got a couple of people to relocate. So
really?
So again, these little micro campaigns, we're really targeted, but we're really pleased with the results, and we hope to get more this year for the TV next year.
Okay.
So,
the ice cream.
Yes, sir. Good. Yeah, try it, Chairman. I've talked to the executives from both several times. Bus service at Ulster Gardens.
I know. For the rest, we've been looking at it extensively, and we're working on a plan. So, got any issues, we've been working on it.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.